Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Sweet. And now it's my lovely opportunity to get to introduce Randy Kyle.
So I saw this joke that I thought I just needed to share with you. It's just a one-liner. There's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. So I promise this will not be a long sermon. So I'm looking at the clock. So if it does get long, just start going and I'll stop. So the title of my message today is What About Me? What about me? You kind of got to say it like that. What about me? Because it's a Kyle family saying that our twins started when they were little. Twins are very competitive. If one gets five M&Ms, how many should the other get?
Five.
If one gets six cookies, the other one should get six. Not that I ever gave my children six cookies. But there's a huge competition going on here every single day. And so our girl twin, Jody, she was more dominant. She came out first, she was heavier, and she's still that way. I mean, she's not probably heavier. Okay, scratch that, okay. I'm not gonna say anything about their weight. Anyway, she was always the dominant one and pushed her little brother around, because we always considered him the little brother because he was smaller and he was 7 minutes younger, right? And so I would go back and forth. One would get the cookie first, and then I'd give it to the other one. It never failed that whoever got the cookie second said, "What about me? What about me?" So everybody say it like that. What about me? You got emphasis on the me. What about me? So that's the title of my sermon today. What about me? When Tom asked me to speak, I told him no. And because I just, you know, find it a big emotional, it's a whole big thing. You know, anybody who's spoken up here, you know, it's a whole big thing. And so then I changed my attitude and I thought, okay, well, I know I'm supposed to do this, but what am I supposed to say? You know, what am I supposed to say? What's inside of me? I had a friend tell me that everybody has something inside of them, a message that is like at their core, right in the middle of them, and that's our gift to the world, right? And so I thought, what is my message? What do I want to have my life count for? And I thought, I really like to encourage people who are going through tough times. I really want to just let people know God's inside of you. You can do it. You can overcome obstacles and you can do everything that God has called you to be. I try to do that in my friendships and all my relationships. I try to encourage my kids that they've got special gifts inside of them. I try to encourage my husband. He's looking, what about me? And so I had another friend as I was bemoaning the fact, oh my gosh, I got to speak on Mother's Day. What the heck? I don't know what to say. And she said, well, what's kind of inside of you? And so I started to tell her. And then she said, well, is there a Bible character that kind of embodies that? And immediately, Naomi from the book of Ruth came to mind. And I thought, huh, I think I'm going to look into this. So, you know, she overcame a lot of obstacles. She had terrible, terrible, we don't know anything about her childhood and her upbringing. We just know about the middle section and then the end section of her life. And so I thought, I think I want to talk about Naomi, because she overcame a lot of obstacles. Now, I'm just asking all you guys out there, don't check out. This is not going to be a chick message, okay? It's not just about Mother's Day. It's not just about women. It's not about children. It's going to be about building a legacy. So don't check out. I might even call on you. One of you men, are you paying attention? What are you getting out of this? I just might call on you, so you just don't know. So we're going to look at the book of Ruth. Okay, we're going to read the whole chapter one. Don't worry, it's not that long. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Epaphrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. How terrible is this? And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "No, we'll go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. And even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then give birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. And may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara." Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. "Call me Mara, for my life is very bitter now. The Lord Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Sad story. And we could, you know, how when you read, you just read over it, you know. And the book of Ruth is only four chapters long. So we could read the whole book in maybe 30 minutes, you know. And we can see the beginning, the middle, and the end. But they didn't know what the end was going to be. It took place over many years, where we get the advantage of seeing, oh, yeah, so see, there's a happy ending. They didn't know that. You know, they had no idea what was going to happen. So let's just look at this family, Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion. They moved to Moab. So they're Jewish people, right? They lived in Bethlehem. They probably followed the ways of the Mosaic law. And they moved to Moab. The problem was, we weren't, as believers, as, you know, the Jewish people, they weren't really supposed to leave. Now, we don't know if they prayed. You know, maybe they did. Maybe they did pray and God told them to go. But, of course, we don't know that. And the number one thing you see all through the Old Testament is, when people inquire of the Lord, when they ask the Lord, when they pray, and then they do that, they have success, don't they? Yeah. You look through all of David's battles. When he inquired of the Lord, they had success. Well, what happened when they didn't inquire of the Lord? It was disaster. In battles, men died. And so I often wondered, did they inquire of the Lord when they went to Moab? Because they were, it sounded to me, just my opinion, that maybe they were just making a decision because they were desperate. They couldn't feed their family. They got to do something. They can't just stay, but maybe they could have stayed. Now, the history of Moab They were despised people because they were idol worshipers. And so the word explicitly says in Deuteronomy that nobody was supposed to intermarry with them. You weren't supposed to have anything to do with them because they would turn your heart away from God. That was the main thing. So this family, they knew the law. They were raised in it, and they still went down to Moab, and her two sons still married Moabite women. So I just think, for Naomi especially, and here her husband dies, those of you who have known loss, how do you get through that? It's a terrible, terrible thing, right? And then her sons, they marry these women. They're not supposed to marry them. But what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know what she did? She loved them. She loved them so much that they didn't want to leave her later on. And so it says that they were the sons were married about 10 years to Orpah and to Ruth, and they didn't have any children, which I think is just interesting. And then these two sons died. Oh my gosh. Now what? And those of you who've known loss, man, you almost can't take another loss. Your heart is broken. You're desolate. It's so, so difficult. And especially now, because in those days, women who were on their own, widows, had no source of care. They didn't have an avenue for food. They didn't have anybody who could take care of them for shelter because they had to rely on their male relatives, fathers, brothers, uncles, cousins. So these women, here Naomi's with these three women. Isn't this a great Mother's Day message? It's so encouraging. Yeah, the story gets better. The story gets better. But I think of Naomi, as I was reading through this book, I encourage you, read through this book and put yourself in the place of all these different people. And I think, imagine her, you know how it is when you go through disaster. Shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done this. Maybe if we hadn't moved to Moab. Maybe if our sons didn't do that particular job. Maybe if we, it's like a hamster wheel, isn't it, inside of our head. And it's hard to make the hamster wheel stop. So Naomi hears, here's starting to get to the good part. Naomi hears that the famine has been relieved back in Bethlehem. And so she wants to go home. She's done with this land that maybe they should never have gone to. And so she tells her daughters-in-law, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back home. And her daughters-in-law are like, okay, great. We'll go back with you. And she's like, no. Because in her mind, she knows these are despised people. The Moabites are despised people. They may look different. They may dress different. They may sound different. I can't take these two girls back home. Are you kidding me? This is never going to work. And so she explains to them, no, you go back. Go back to your home. Maybe you'll find a man and you'll get married again. Maybe you'll be able to have some children. And so she talks Orpah into going back. But Ruth clings to her. She, clings to her. She won't let her go. And it doesn't matter how much talking Naomi does. Ruth is going to go with her. And so now Naomi has another problem. What is she going to do with Ruth? How is she going to bring Ruth back into the Jewish community? This will never work. I often wonder, was Naomi kind of a half full kind of person, half glass half full kind of person? Oh, this will never work. So they go back to Bethlehem. I looked it up. It said that there was about 60 miles, and I imagine they're walking. I don't know that they're riding donkeys. So it took several days, right? And I'm thinking, what did Naomi talk about with Ruth on her way there? I wonder if she described maybe the customs, okay, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, this is what you wear, this is what you don't wear, these are the nice people, don't ever go over there. And I think about, she just talked about them, and I think what those two girls saw, what Orpah and Ruth saw in Naomi, was something maybe they had never seen before. I think they saw her devotion to God, because Ruth even says, no, your God will be my God. I want to serve that God. There was something of character that Naomi gave away. It just was in her. And we all have that.
Yes.
We all have that to give away. There's something in us that we can give away that's attractive. It's like, have you ever had somebody walk by you in a store and it's like, oh my gosh, they smell good. You know, that's the fragrance of Christ that we give off now. And so I think they probably talked about stuff like that on the way home. And they arrived in Bethlehem, and the townspeople, they're all excited. Oh my gosh, it's Naomi. It's Naomi again. Yay, she's back in town. And she sees she's got somebody with her. But they don't say anything because maybe they're polite. You know, we don't really know. And so Naomi says, out of the first words out of her mouth, no, no, don't call me Naomi. I'm not pleasant anymore. Call me Mara. Have you met people like that? They're like Eeyores. Call me Mara. My life is bitter. The Lord's hand has gone out against me. I mean, that's a little bold to say something like that. You know, you may think that, but who says it? Naomi says it. You know, she just comes right out. No, went out full, came back empty. Life sucks. It's terrible. And by the way, this is Ruth. She's a Moabite. You know, and some people are kind of like, oh, okay. Aren't we not supposed to associate with them? Oh, she's my daughter-in-law. Oh. Oh, your son married her. Oh, okay. Well, I guess Deuteronomy 7 is out the window now. You know, we don't need to worry about that. And I just think of Naomi just trying to get her life back in gear, trying to retrace her steps. And she's so bitter. I just had this picture. It's kind of like this. She's wearing sunglasses of pain and bitterness. And what happens when you wear sunglasses like this? It colors everything. Yeah. You know, it's everywhere I'm looking, it's colored by these sunglasses. Yeah. And those sunglasses say, it's hopeless. Mm-hmm. What's the point? Now what am I gonna do? My life's a waste. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when we kind of get stuck in that, isn't it? That's all we can see, it colors everything. But what's really cool is we're still talking about Naomi and Ruth 3,000 years later, aren't we? We're still talking about them. We're still reading the story. It's a great story. So they're in Bethlehem, and I think Naomi was raised, you know, her family was Jewish, and they were raised knowing the Mosaic customs. And one of the concerns for Naomi, because she has nobody to take care of her, she's taking care of Ruth, what are we going to eat? You know, that's the first order of business. If you watch survival stories, what do they tell you got to do? First order of business, shelter, fire, food, or maybe shelter, fire, water. So yeah. Naomi has to figure out, how are we going to eat? And she remembers, wait a minute, I think there's a provision in the Mosaic law. Can we look at Leviticus 23, verse 22? And it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. Naomi thinks, oh, wait a minute. We maybe can go get some grain. So we can find somebody who has a field of crops, and we'll go behind them and we'll go along the edges and we'll gather the grain. We'll at least have some food to eat. And I think maybe that was something that she talked to Ruth about. Naomi talked to Ruth about, because Ruth offers to go. You know, she's younger. She's probably in better shape. You know, she can move a little better, carry more. So Ruth says, I'm going to go. You know, and I think she also did it because she loved Naomi and she wanted to help Naomi. But again, here is a Moabite going among the Jewish community. What's going to happen to her? How does she even do it? Does she even know what to look for? You know, Tom has a great teaching on this whole story, just about how, you know, if you read in the story, Boaz, who we'll meet in just a minute, he tells his workers, don't embarrass Ruth. You know, even if she doesn't know what to do, just make it easy for her. Throw some sheaves kind of behind you as you're going, you know, so she can just fall on him and she can have the dignity of doing the work herself and feeling like she's, you know, she can feed her mother-in-law, she can help. So Ruth is going to go, and you know how awkward first day on the job is. You don't know what to do. You know, she's wandering around. Oh, look, there's a field. Oh, look, there's people. Well, here goes whatever. And so she goes and she watches and she's like, okay. And so can you imagine, she probably picked up sticks. She probably picked up little pieces of nothing that's not grain at all. But then she starts to catch on. She starts to catch on a little bit. And now think about Naomi this first day. What do you think she's doing? I think she's home worrying. I think she's home praying, praying for Ruth to be safe, that nobody's going to harm her. Not, you know, she's a young woman. She could come to some kind of physical harm. She could also come to physical harm because she's a Moabite. You know, somebody could beat her up or even kill her because she's of a despised race. So Naomi, she's probably toward the end of the day watching. When's she coming home? When's she coming home? Is she going to be okay? Is she going to be okay? And then when she comes home, she's got this whole big apron full of grain. And Naomi's kind of like, what? This is too much for one person to have gathered. How did this happen? And I think then maybe it clicked for Naomi. Maybe God is in this. Maybe God's going to take care of me. It's like, you know how you're driving on a cloudy day and you see that one shaft of sunlight. Yeah. And it's like, huh, maybe God's going to take care of us. It's one glimmer of hope. But these turnarounds, how do they happen? Turnarounds happen one day at a time. Like I said, we get to read this whole story, but they had to walk it out one day at a time, just like us. We don't know the ending, do we? So Ruth finds out she's gleaning in this wealthy guy's field named Boaz. Now, I was doing some research on this. One thing I never knew, Boaz is like 80, and Ruth is like 40. Yeah, I was surprised. I kind of thought maybe Boaz might be, I don't know, 65, and Ruth's like 20. No, he's an older guy. And it says in some of the things I read that he was a widower with no children. And so she's gleaning in this field of Boaz's, and Boaz notices her. Obviously, she's a new young woman, and she's a Moabite. And so he inquires about her from the townspeople. Hey, what? Who's this? And he finds out her whole story, and he finds out how she's taken such great care of Naomi. So he thinks, huh, this is a noble woman. This is a good woman. So he notices her. And then she comes home, Ruth comes home and tells Naomi, I was gleaning in the field of Boaz. And she's like, oh, Boaz? He's one of like, I'm going to call it a family protector. The actual name is kinsman redeemer. And there was a thing in the Jewish law where if a man died, his brother was supposed to marry the widow so that they could carry on the family line. And it kind of goes into some of that, where actually Boaz was a cousin. But Naomi realizes, oh my gosh. He's a family redeemer. He's a kinsman redeemer. I think I know something that maybe we can do. And so she thinks, you know how sometimes women that age, they're just thinking, I don't want to say scheming. That's not the right word. I don't want to say matchmaking. That's not the right word. But she thinks about, there is something else in the Mosaic law about kinsman redeemers. There's a way that maybe we can be protected. And so she tells Ruth to do a ridiculous thing, a crazy thing to our thinking. She says, okay, this is what I want you to do. Boaz is going to be threshing out the grain tonight. Make sure you take a bath. You smell good. You got on your best outfit. And what you're going to do is you're going to go to this barn where he's going to be threshing out grain. You're going to look from the side. Don't make sure nobody sees you. And you're going to just watch where he's going to lay down. And then you're going to go in and you're going to lay down at his feet and you're going to uncover his feet and put the blanket on you. What? I mean, that I don't think they're doing any of that on the dating apps. I don't think any of that is on the dating apps. But Naomi tells Ruth, use this phrase to Boaz, because Boaz is sleeping, a sound wakes him up in the night, and he wakes up and is like, oh, there's a girl. There's a young woman here. Oh my, I wonder who that is. And Naomi tells Ruth to say, this is the language of the covenant, spread the corner of your garment over me because you are a redeemer. Basically what that is a marriage proposal. She's asking him, and he knows. Boaz knows, because he's raised in all that. He, you know, he's a Jew. He knows she's asking for care and protection in marriage. He knows. And he realizes it's Ruth. She says, you know, it's Ruth. My name's Ruth. And he knows who she is. And he says, I will do what you ask. I will take care of things. So they marry, which is wonderful. You know, we women, we all like that about the weddings. And then Ruth gets pregnant, and she has a little boy named Obed. And if you think about it, it's not any of Ruth's bloodline. There's no, because remember, her husband's gone, her sons are gone, there's no bloodline. But yet Ruth, I mean, Naomi cares for her, cares for this little boy. He's not one of her physical DNA at all. And so you think about Naomi, even with maybe all the mistakes, even with maybe the mistake of moving to Moab, even with the mistakes of her son marrying these Moabite women, God is giving her a legacy. A legacy, a spiritual legacy. And I think about us here today. There's many here who can't have children, and it's very, very painful. And or maybe your relationships are broken with your kids. But we can have so much impact in the life of others, can't we? We can pass on our spiritual DNA. And I think of Tom's birth mother. She, when Tom's dad and she got divorced, she didn't show up for the custody hearing. Tom was 4 and his sister was 6. She didn't show up. So thankfully, his dad got custody because his dad was a good man. And then shortly after that, he married Anne. And Anne was a good woman. She never had any children of her own, but she loved Tom and his little sister and his big sister. And she did all the things a mother does. She cooks, she cleans, she dries their tears, she takes care of them when they're sick. She does all these things. She even takes little Tommy out on his first job with this paper route early in the morning, you know? And when, if you talk to Tom, you'll find out Anne was the one who influenced his life. Not his birth mother. She influenced him way more than his birth mother did. So we don't have to give birth to have a legacy. Naomi's legacy didn't come from her physical DNA. Let's look at Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. I told you it's going to get better. This is the happy part. Ruth 4, 13 through 16. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a redeemer. May he become famous," this is the little boy, "may he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life," I love this, "and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and cared for him. The women there said, "Naomi has a son." They're calling her Naomi again. Aren't they? They're calling her Naomi again. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And if you continue on, Jesus is in that line. God used a Moabite woman, an idol worshiper, you know, coming from a despised people group. They're in the line of Jesus. It just shows God can take care of those mistakes. You know, seemingly mistakes, you know. So Naomi had a legacy. Because, you know, they said, Naomi has a son. Well, no, she didn't have a son. It's not her son. But it's a son of legacy, right? And I think, what if Naomi had stayed in her despair in Moab? You know, I'm sure God would have had another plan. But what if she stayed? What if she didn't keep walking forward? What if she didn't take those tiny, small steps just to get through the day? You know, what if she gave up? So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 that the things that we read in the Bible are there for our example, that we're to learn things from them, right? So what is this example for me? What can I take away from the story? I think number 1, don't give up. Don't waste my pain. when you go through painful situations, process well, because you know what it does? It develops ripe, delicious fruit that then you can give to others. Back in 2000, there was a movie that came out called Chicken Run. I don't know if any of you remember. It was one of those claymation movies. And we went to go see it, and our son Andrew, I told him I was going to be talking about him today. I told our son Andrew, our Andrew, you know, we're watching the movie. He was like 5 or 6. And there's a part when the main rooster is going to get his head cut off to be put in a chicken pie. And, you know, it gets a little tense. And so Andrew was just, he crawled up in my lap and he said, I want to go home. I want to go home. I don't like this. I'm afraid. I don't like this. And I said, no, Andrew, it's going to be okay. Because I was really hoping it was going to be okay. Because that would have been bad. And I just have to tell you, when we first saw Top Gun, Tom told me, Goose would not die. So I get a little nervous about movies. Anyway, I told Andrew, I said, it's okay. We need to wait to see the ending. And so he did. He saw the ending. And at the end, he said, I'm so glad we stayed. I'm so glad we didn't go home. And when we're frightened like that, what do we want to do? We just want to go home and get in bed, you know? But what did Naomi do? She just kept walking day by day, and she could see the hand of God in a bulging bag of grain. Can we see those ways that God's taken care of us? Those glimmers of hope when we're in terrible situations? And can we wait for the chapters to roll on? We don't know what exact chapter we're in, but there's another chapter coming, I can assure you of that. Yeah. And I believe that God has better chapters for us, and we just have to take small steps and love the person in front of you. Yep. Naomi loved Ruth. She loved her, and that's what we can do. So you may be here, and this is all just like, oh, I don't ever feel like that. I'm never that desperate. So what can you do? Maybe you can be a Boaz. Maybe you can be kind and generous. I would not suggest taking another wife half your age. No, probably not. But he was kind and generous, and his heart was to help, wasn't it? Yes. And I can look for opportunities to give out myself, my spiritual DNA, and invest in other people. The thing is I need to ask and then look and watch. Because a lot of times I ask, and then I don't watch, and so I miss things. So we ask God, don't we? God, use me. I want to invest in others. They're everywhere. The fields are ripe for harvest. Can I see it? Yeah. So I just encourage you, just let's look and ask. So Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your word of hope, that there's always hope, even when we don't feel like it, even when we're just in desperate situations, when we're in so much pain, there's hope. Help me to always acknowledge you. We thank you. We thank you for your son, who is our word of hope, the beginning and the end. We thank you, Jesus. And I just encourage you to just close your eyes and listen to this song. Don't sing along. Just listen to this song and just let the words just sink into you. And think about your legacy, how you can pass it on, and who you can pass it on to.
Jesus, you're so kind. You're so faithful. You're faithful to your word. When we can't see the end, when we don't know how to take one more step, Father, we trust you to believe you, to hope, to trust, to not quit, to choose life and not death. Choose kindness and not bitterness, to forgive and choose choose life. I love the book of Ruth. It's probably my favorite in the entire Bible because it takes a woman who has nothing. She's lost everything. She's even lost her faith at one point. And yet she simply kept her feet moving forward. So as Randy said, that may not be you. You may not have ever known that kind of life. Can you be a Ruth that chooses to stand along somebody who's hopeless? Can you be a Boaz? Maybe you're older in life and all you have is resource. It's all you have in your mind is resource. Can you make a future for somebody? Can you be generous? Can you be kind? Can you stretch beyond your boundaries and love people that no one else would love? Provide for people that no one else would provide for? Because Jesus has done all that and more for us. So this morning, say thank you for coming. We're going to dismiss. Enjoy the rest of your day. If you have the opportunity to be with your children or extended family, bless them, encourage them. Look past the imperfections that are so obvious, so irritating. I can remember Randy mentioned my mom and dad this morning. My dad was a good man. Last 3 years of his life, he was a bear on a bad day. But he loved me really well for the first 60 years of my life. Am I going to choose to remember the 60 years or the bear years? And a mom who wasn't my mom loved me. She didn't have to. She simply chose to love me. We can make choices to love people even when they're not so lovely. It's called the grace and kindness of Jesus. And we can do that. So, Father, bless this family. Lord, that we would be a family of Boazes. To look out beyond our boundaries to see who we can love, who we can bless, who we can get behind, who we can make a way for. Father, may we be people who open doors for people. May we be like a Ruth who will stand with broken people, hurting people, even bitter people. That we would just choose love and love somebody through an ugly time. Maybe love somebody through an ugly life. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity just to be used, to be blessed. Bless us in our coming and our going. Bless our children, our children's children, whether they be DNA kids or not. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of life that you've given us. And everyone said, amen, amen. Be blessed, be encouraged, have an amazing day.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.